There are lots of challenges in tonight's gospel, and particularly in the first reading, linked by what I'm going to call a bridge in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second reading. And there are particular words and phrases in there that really stick out for me at this time. The gospel particularly is an allegorical statement, so Matthew is using through the lips of Jesus images to make a point. That's what the parable partly does. So each of the images stand for something. And they are linked to the first reading. And the vineyard in the first reading is Israel. The vineyard in the second reading is the people of God. The new Israel has often been the term that is used. Then the workers in the vineyard are actually the chief priests and the scribes and the leaders of the people. The tenants in the gospel are the chief priests, the scribes, and the tenants. Now, most of the vineyards and most of the cropping that was done in the Middle East at that time was owned by people who lived outside of Palestine. And so they leased the land, the crops, the land that produced the crops, to tenants. Some of the poor actually owned a little bit of land themselves, but the majority were worked for the landowners who lived abroad. So the picture is quite accurate. They do the work, the landowner comes back, and he would take normally between 40 and 60% of the produce. 20% of the produce would normally be used by the household to buy the essentials. That's roughly how the breakdown would go. Then there would be things like the church tax, not planned giving, that's not a tax. There'd be the synagogue tax, there'd be the taxes that the Romans put on the people. So this money was slowly taken from them, and yet they did all of the work. So it's not uncommon that the tenants would be angry a lot of the time in their relationship with the landowner. The landowner, of course, is God. In both cases. So the first thing is, I think, for us to understand is that this is about a relationship. You can look at the parables any way you want, but I'm just doing it this way tonight for you, because using the second reading, it's very difficult to get past the opening phrase, "There is no need to worry." Well, I'll be blowed. There is no need to worry. Who in this church has not had anxiety over something, has not worried about something? We all have. It is part of our flawed human condition. And yet Paul says there's no need to worry. He gives us a recipe to get through that worry by prayer and giving thanks. And that even gets watered down, doesn't it, when we read the worrying headlines that confront us daily. When the President of the United States can stand up and say, "We pray for you." Prayer, in that sense, means nothing unless it is followed through with practice. Even in our own nation, when there's a disaster, we offer you our prayers. Well, that's lovely. But until the words are turned into action, it is like this vineyard that produces sour grapes. It is like, in the parable, the good produce is stolen away. It has to be worked and worked at. So I look at anxiety, and I read somewhere that anxiety is the scar of the modern civilization, because it's created the scar of the ulcer, the duodenal ulcer particularly, and that is the stripe of our civilization, because we worry and we are anxious over so many things. Now, I think mankind has been anxious from time immemorial, particularly about security and safety. And so hostilities, wars, have very much been a part of the flawed human condition as well, haven't they? It seems to me that if you read the Old Testament, it's full of blood and guts. Not a lot of joy in lots of parts of the First Testament. And then we get a complete contrast when we come to the Second Testament, what we call the New Testament, where Jesus is giving us the answers or the solutions to the anxiety of the past, that which has been hung around our neck. And that solution comes in the form of peace. And it's mentioned there, and in St. Paul's letter, and the God of peace will be with you. That's what we're all aiming for. But our anxieties, our worries, in Pauline words, prevent us from recognising God among us, Emmanuel. Because we are so focused on our relationships. You know, all those marriages that on the surface are bubbling away and look lovely, and then underneath there is pain and there is chaos that nobody else can see. But those couples know what the hurt is at that time. There are other people in other relationships that are constantly battling just to try to stay in love. And then we have the parents. Parents' anxiety over their children. And you should be able to identify with the words in the first reading. And these are words that are gut-wrenching because they represent words coming from God who sees what he's given to his children and they're not coming up with the goods. Which parent here hasn't seen that in their children? What could I have done for my vineyard that I have not done? That you can hear a parent, I hear it. What more could I have done for my kids than what I've done? We worked two jobs each. We gave up everything so that these kids would have a good education, that they would have a safe home to live in. They didn't want for anything. It wasn't extravagant, but they had a good, safe home life with education and values that we think are really important. And we gave them a religious grounding. We baptised them and brought them into the community of God, the vineyard. And yet, so many of your children, and I feel your pain, so many of your children are not in the vineyard anymore. They're busy making their millions. They're busy living the free life. They're very often so preoccupied with the one thing that is so important to them. So important, and it's not necessarily money. The thing that is most important to this generation, it seems to me, that distances them from God is where we saw God being the centre point of our life. So many of our people now see themselves as the centre of their life. And that, my dear, dear friends, is the sour grapes. That's the poison fruit that's being produced in our society a lot of the time. For those of you that have not experienced that, that is the peace of God among you. But it doesn't come when you open an envelope. It doesn't come when you just enter this church and you get it and it's all rosy. It's not. The vineyard requires a lot of work. Your relationships and my relationships require a lot of work. But God must be at the centre of them. And God is love. St. John tells us that. God is love. And that must be at the centre of all my relationships. And let me tell you, as St. Catherine said, where there is love, there is pain.